Let's just turn for a few moments, please, to Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs 25, just a few thoughts before we get down to prayer tonight, thinking about the work of the mission board of our church, thinking about Australia and other places like that. A little text of scripture came to mind yesterday, and it's Proverbs 25. And the verse 25. Proverbs 25, verse 25. The Word of God says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. A beautiful little text of scripture. And I think unless you're extremely critical or cynical or morose or negative or pessimistic or ill-tempered, you would delight in hearing good news, especially in the midst of the day and age we're living in where there's so much bad news. I think anybody who loves the Lord and anybody who's of a kind nature loves to hear good news. And whenever good news comes from a far country, it really delights the heart. There's something especially heartwarming about receiving good news from a far country. Maybe you have a relative or a loved one and they live across the waters and they're across the miles, and maybe they phone you up or send you a text message and they give you good news. Maybe there's been the birth of a child. Maybe there's been an engagement. Maybe somebody has come to know the Savior. Maybe somebody's graduated from university or high school, and they give you good news, and it comes from a far country, and it gladdens your heart. Maybe a missionary or an evangelist or a pastor or a Christian worker laboring in a difficult place in a far-off land. They've left their home, they've left their family, they've left their local church, they've gone to a far country. And then news filters through that something good has happened. Maybe somebody's got converted. Maybe the Lord has provided a building or provided finance or raised up workers in the church. Maybe God is moving by His Spirit. We hear good news from a far country. It blesses our hearts. It blesses our souls. And I suppose tonight all of us would know that the word gospel really means good news or glad tidings. Heaven in Scripture is described in many ways. It's described in part as being like unto a country. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 16, it speaks of God's servants, and it says, now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly. And so in the truest sense of the term, the gospel is good news from a far country. Because the gospel has its origin in heaven. And the gospel has come down from heaven at that heavenly country. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things angels desire to look into. And the cold waters, the cold, refreshing, living waters of the gospel bring so much delight to the thirsty soul as this gospel that has come down from heaven reaches the hearts and lives of individuals. And not just the gospel itself, but even the success of the gospel in far-off lands is good news to those who are hungry and thirsty for God. Just three very quick, simple thoughts to leave with you before we get down to prayer. You'll notice in this text the distant source of the good news that is spoken about as good news from a far country. We've already noted that there's a sense in which heaven is a far country. But the application here is broad. All throughout Scripture, we read about people who received good news coming from a far country. We think of Genesis chapter 42, whenever Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt. Jacob, of course, had lost his son to Egypt, thought that he was dead. But this good news had filtered through in the midst of the famine that there's corn in Egypt, in a sense, in a far country. And that was good news, and it thrilled his heart to know that there's corn in Egypt, and we can go there and we can be provided for, and we can have a banquet there, and we can have all of our needs met. Then we think of Ruth, chapter 1 and verse number 6. Naomi's in a far country, she's in Moab. And in Moab, she had heard that God had visited his people in Israel in giving them bread. Good news had filtered through. Naomi heard that good news, and she purposes in her heart, I'm going to respond to the good news. I'm going to leave Moab. I'm going to return again to Israel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, the wise men in the east, searching and studying the scriptures that have been left there down through the generations. They heard, it filtered through, news came to them, the star came, they followed the star, and they left their country, and they went into what was for them a far country, and they worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son took of his substance and went down to a far country and wasted his substance with riotous living. And then whenever he had spent all, he began to be in want. He joined himself to a citizen of that land and would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And then says, I will arise and go to my father. And he returned from the far country to his father with news that he was repenting of his sin. And he was asking his father for forgiveness. And so you see how in the word of God, good news travels from far countries and proves to be a blessing to those that hear it. It is good to know tonight that God is moving and God is working in far off lands. You know, the tide might be out in our land tonight. But if the tide is out here, then that just means it's in somewhere else. And God is moving in far off lands and far off nations, and God is building his church right across the world. And we need to be glad about that. We need to take comfort in that. We need to rejoice in that. We long for God's blessing in our province. We long that God would come and move in our province. But God elsewhere is moving mightily, building his church and establishing a witness and a testimony for Jesus Christ. Maybe you have a loved one who in a spiritual sense, like the prodigal, is in a far country. Let's look for a better day. We thought about that last Monday night. I have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You might have a son or a daughter or a loved one, a grandchild, and in a spiritual sense they're far, far away from God. They're in a far country. Let's pray tonight that we will receive good news of their return even to the Saviour's feet. And then as well, we must be mindful of those who are labouring in far countries. People like Philip Gardner, people like Ralph Hall, people like Kyle Graham, and then those that labour in Kenya, and those that labour in Nepal, and those that are labouring across the world in the gospel, serving the Saviour. Let's pray that we will receive good news of what God is doing through their lives and witness and testimony. Let's have a sense of expectancy tonight, the distant source of this good news of our country. And then it speaks as well of the recipient, the described recipient of this good news. As cooled waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Here it's speaking about those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, those who are longing for good news, those who are holding out for a better day. And surely tonight our souls are thirsty, and we long tonight, I'm sure, for God. Revive thy work, O Lord, create soul thirst for thee. I wonder tonight, is your soul thirsty? Are you longing for a better day? Are you longing that God would come? Are you praying for those who are laboring in far off lands and praying that God will answer prayer and that we will hear great and glad tidings of what God is doing? I wonder tonight, do we really have a thirst of soul for God? These are barren days that we're living in. And I'm sure tonight there's something of a hunger, something of a thirst in your heart for God. For God to come and for God to move. You know, I long to see God move in Lisburn. I long to see God move in Northern Ireland. I long for that day whenever God will turn the tide and come in with great power and with great authority. And that God will do mighty things. And we will hear sounds from heaven. And hear, as it were, the rumbling of heaven's chariot wheels. But we don't covet the blessing of God only for ourselves. We long that wherever there's a faithful servant of Christ here in our province or further afield, those who are labouring under the auspices of our own mission board and denomination, and many that are faithful outside of it, we long to hear of times of great awakening, times of great movings of God's Spirit, even from far off lands. You know, the psalmist said, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. He says, my soul longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And surely tonight, if we are hungry, and surely tonight, if we are thirsty, God will ultimately come and satisfy that thirsty soul. Did not our Lord Jesus Christ say, blessed are those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I believe tonight that whenever there's a genuine and a sincere and a persistent thirsting amongst the people of God, that God ultimately will come and God ultimately will move. You know, if we're hungry tonight for God and we're thirsty for God, the Lord says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? If you've got a son and he asks for a fish, are you going to give him a serpent? If he's hungry and he comes and asks for bread, are you going to give him a stone? If he asks for something for his physical needs and his physical hunger and his physical thirst, are you going to deny him? And if we come before God tonight as those who are hungry and those who are thirsty and those who are longing for God, is God really going to deprive us and not fill us and not satisfy that soul thirst within us? But the reality is tonight we need to ask ourselves, are we really hungry? And are we really thirsty? You know, we would have thought, I'm sure, that during the first lockdown, that anybody who was a Christian at all surely would search their ways and try our hearts, and whenever the lockdown would end, the people would come flooding back into God's house, realizing that maybe we've taken for granted for years the privileges that God has given us. But you know, the sad reality is that there are many who have grown cold at heart even during the lockdown. And even wherever it's relatively safe to come back to God's house, they're nowhere to be seen. And it seems that our land, rather than turning to God, and even the church, rather than crying on to God for mercy and seeking God's face continually, it seems that we aren't as hungry and as thirsty as we really ought to be. What will God have to do to cause His people to thirst and hunger after God? This promise is given to a thirsty soul. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. One last little thought. Not just the distinct source of the good news, the far country. Not just the described recipients of the good news, those who have thirsty souls. But notice as well the distinct blessing of this good news. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. You know, nothing will quench thirst as much or as well as plain, old-fashioned, cold water. There's nothing that will quench physical thirst as well, as quickly and as sufficiently as plain, old-fashioned, cold water. And here the author of the book of Proverbs says that good news from a far country is like cold water to a thirsty soul. It satisfies, it refreshes, it revives, it reinvigorates. And doesn't it do our souls good to hear what God is doing in other places. You know, cold waters are also, I believe, suggestive of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7 has some wonderful promises in it. And in John 7:37 we read that on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. He stood in order to be seen. He cried in order to be heard. He stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters." But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus Christ was not yet glorified. But Jesus Christ tonight, our Lord and Savior, is glorified, is exalted, and the Spirit of God has been given. And he's available there in all of his glorious fullness for those who feel their need of him, for those who are hungry, for those who are thirsty, for those who come as empty, yielded, surrendered vessels to him, and come in simple, childlike faith in response to the Savior's invitation, and on the authority of God's word, God can fill us if we're hungry and if we're thirsty with these cold and refreshing waters, and fill us to overflowing. Out of his belly, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. I wonder tonight, are we really thirsty? Can we really claim such promises? You know, my mind goes back again to the Great Awakening in the Isle of Lewis, and there was a particular part of the island, a little parish called Arnall. And it seems that the people there were very aloof to the movings of the Spirit of God, and they almost viewed the awakening and conversion and salvation as the plague, and they were trying to stay away from it. And then there were people who were critical as well, from a particular branch of the Church of Jesus Christ, who were opposed to the revival. And they called a great prayer meeting in the home of one of the church elders in a large granite house in that parish. And as they were praying and seeking the face of God, one of the old blacksmiths stood up. His name was John, and he was able to pray in such a fashion. He stood up and says, "Now, Lord, you have made a promise in your word, in the book of Isaiah, to pour water on him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground." He says, "Lord, you're not doing it." He says, "Now, Lord, I don't know how others stand tonight in your presence. I don't know the hearts of anybody else here, but Lord, if I know anything about my own heart, I stand before you, Lord, as an empty vessel, hungry and thirsty for a manifestation of your power. And Lord, you have said in your word that you will pour water in him that is thirsty. And Lord, you're not doing it. I now challenge you to come and fulfill your covenant engagements and do that which you have promised to do." And immediately, testimony is recorded that that young man fell to his knees. And a wave of God's consciousness filled that house where they were gathered. And they said that that great granite house shook like a leaf. And one of the men turned round to Duncan Campbell and says, "It must be an earth tremor." And his thoughts were taken back to the Acts of the Apostles. Whenever they were all assembled together and had prayed and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, the house shook. I wonder tonight, could we pray in such a fashion? Could we dare come to God with such a promise and lay it bare before God and lay bare our own souls and say, "Lord, you can search me through and through. Lord, you know my heart, you know my motive, you know my desires, you know the burden of heart that I have," and challenge God to fulfill his word? Or do we not really have a thirst or a hunger at all? You know, the news of God's Spirit moving as well in far countries ought to thrill our hearts as well. What do we do with a verse of Scripture like this? Two simple things. First of all, we pray. We pray tonight that God will encourage those who are laboring in far off countries, so that God will bless their labors. God will use them abundantly. And God will build his church through them so that we can hear about it and rejoice with them. Those who are serving afar off need our prayers. Mr. Gardner mentioned tonight, the Reverend Gardner, about loneliness, about the vastness of that great city, about the need for laborers, about the atheism, about the false religion. Let's pray for people tonight like the Reverend Philip Gardner. Let's pray for those who have left this assembly, this fellowship tonight to serve God. People like Kyle Graham, the Pollock family. Hard to leave your family indefinitely and go to a far off land and nation. And with COVID and all of the restrictions and the pandemic over there in America so prevalent, let's really pray that God will bless those that we know and love and others that are unknown to us. And in answer to our prayers, we can be laborers together with them. And wouldn't it be a wonderful thing in the weeks and months and years that lie ahead to hear good news from Perth, a far country, good news from Port Lincoln, good news from Malvern, good news from Uganda, good news from Kenya, good news from Nepal, wherever it may be, that God is answering prayer. God is building His church. God is saving souls. He's raising up elders and deacons and Sunday school teachers. Wouldn't that thrill our hearts? You see, whenever you pray that God will bless others, you inevitably bring blessing to yourself. The Bible says concerning Job, it's a lovely verse, that the Lord turned again the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. So let's pray for those, that God will encourage those laboring in far off countries, that we can rejoice with them whenever God answers prayer. And let's pray as well that God will encourage us, so that those who are laboring as well in far off countries can hear about how God is blessing us in Lisburn, blessing us in Ulster, and that those who have left their homeland can rejoice with us and cool waters to their thirsty souls as they hear of good news from a far country. We need the blessing of heaven more than ever. We need to share the good news of the gospel more than ever. We need to pray for the success of the gospel more than ever in this country and in far countries. And whenever we see the triumph of the gospel and the Church of Christ flourishing, it'll be like cold waters to these thirsty souls.